here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
A bet-on. And we want to talk about a bet-on today. In the Hebrew, it's ab-ad-om, or ad-ab-don. And you all recognize that as the name, one of the names of Antichrist from the ninth chapter of Revelations. You may be turning there as we prepare to begin. I feel in this generation there's not enough that you can learn about him to observe, to know his method of operation, and to understand why God would give him this name, as well as Apollyon, as well as many of his other names. Because each, basically, this is made up of two Hebrew words. And it does carry a meaning, if you would. It means to wander away to perish. Usually in places translated destruction. Wandering away to perish. Naturally, that means wandering away to hell. That's where he'll lead you. But let's observe today part of his method of operation, his MO, so to speak, as to how he deceives people. And the way we do that, we want facts. We don't want just a bunch of words, words, words. We want facts. How does he accomplish it? How can he possibly cause people to wander away from such a beautiful Father? And there's only one way we can find that. That's go to his word. Let's begin, if we may, with the ninth verse, which you're all, the ninth chapter of Revelation, and verse 4. And let's look at the description or the parameters that are given him. He can only work in certain parameters, or that is to say, he is only allowed to do so much. And then for our sake, there are boundaries. And of course, in Christ, you always have a boundary after the price was paid on the cross. So there's no excuse for you to allow Satan into your life. But let's understand how he works, because sometimes it's real easy to be deceived. And you might let him in through somebody you're not familiar with. You see, he works through friends, supposedly. He works through many methods. Let's check them out, all right? Verse 4 reads in this, this is the angel has sounded the fifth trump, and we're being shown what's going to happen in that period of time. And he's given these parameters as to what he can and can't do in verse 4, beginning. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, meaning they weren't real locusts in prior verses, because locusts do bother the earth. Neither any green thing, and that's absolute not an insect, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Now, what is the seal of God in your forehead? It's the Word of God. It's knowing the truth. Having information in your mind whereby you can't be deceived. You cannot be caused to wander off in nonsense, to wander off in untruths, to wander off in the traditions of men. It's a very dangerous thing. Satan loves to utilize that. All right? Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not hurt, kill them. They can't kill anyone directly, but that they should be tormented 5 months. There we have the period of time, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. You're all familiar with that. You know how a scorpion strikes and why he does. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Why? Those that have wandered off, when they see the true Christ returning, are going to be too ashamed to face him. And unfortunately, many times it's going to be because they're going to say, well, I listened to him, but he was a good old boy. Seemed like he knew what he was talking about. Not realizing that Satan comes disguised. This is the reason you must never listen to this man or any other man without checking them out in the Word of God. Because it is God that you answer to. You must learn to think for yourself. and observe all things carefully, fairly, equitably, honestly. That's what justness is. Don't be too quick to judge until you analyze, but first off, learn how to analyze. How do you spot this one and his mischievous, slick ways of causing one to wonder? Verse 7, continuing, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared to battle. You all know the idiom concerning horses. They mean power and war, spiritual. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. I mean, they look like kingship, look like the real... I mean, he would even look like the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, that's how deceiving he is de facto, or to say when he's in person. And their faces were as the faces of men. Why? They weren't locusts, they were men. Don't ever let anybody kid you. Satan uses men. Always has, always will. He's even known occasionally to use a woman, but they're harder to deceive. All right? And I'm just working on supper tonight, that's all. Verse 8. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. In other words, having hair of a woman means soft. I'll tell you how to be saved. Soft voices leading you. I'll tell you how to go into the great eternity in a big flame. Watch it, see? But their teeth are like lions, means they talk sweet. But what they're teaching will tear your heart out. It will take you to that place of perishing. So you've got to be careful. That doesn't mean they don't know what they're doing. That's not the, I'm not teaching that you should hate them or anything else, but that you should be able to spot them, recognize them for what they are. All right? And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. They're pretending to be preachers, teachers, priests of God, only they don't have the stones of God in the breastplate. They're iron. False. Fake. And the sound of their wings were as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. There'll be a great number of them, all right, of deceivers. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, did it say they were to help men 5 months? No, to hurt, to do harm, to cause to wonder, and even come to the point of perishing. If you listen, you must load the seal of God in your mind whereby you're not easily deceived. And again, you must be honest, and you must be fair in your judgment. Verse 11, and this is why we came here. And they had a king over them. This is the head guru, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. There's only one. He's a cherubim. It's his home, or it's going to be the abyss in the Greek. It's Satan, by whatever name you wish to call him, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. They're both the same thing. They both mean to cause you to perish. Now, many people talk about going on forever and ever with their little souls and so forth, and that is well and good, but the word perish in the languages of the manuscripts is prevalent and is quite present. And it is a word you want to be used to, because there are some, their souls are going to perish. Fear not he who can destroy your flesh body, but he that can cause your soul to perish. Now, it is God that can consume a soul, because it is God. It was God that created the souls. So, inasmuch as it has identified the entity that will cause the wondering, there is one book set aside in God's Word that is probably one of the most educational books for a man in the flesh, aside from Ecclesiastes, of any other book in the Bible. Poor old Job, we say. Okay? Well, you better pay attention to Job. Job in the Hebrew tongue means persecuted. And this world is going to persecute you. We live with it every day. There was a time that it was considered a compliment to be called a Christian. We still consider it so. But in the ways of the world, that's a smirk. Kind of a turning nose up at, oh, you're a little Christian. You know, and you want to go, yeah, a little Christian, pop. You know, do something real godlike. You know, take care of an enemy. But I jest, young people, okay, in a way. But you've got to know how he operates so that you can protect yourself. Satan has never in history come along with some big, fire-breathing dragon into your bedroom or somewhere else going, boo, get ya! You know, I'll eat you alive! You know, or supernatural entities appearing in the night, you know, with pitchforks threatening you into the fiery furnace of Satan, of hell, all right? Hey, he doesn't work that way. That's not his method of operation. And if you think for 1 minute that all you have to be afraid of is the supernatural in that respect, I'm sorry, you're way off base. And you're a prime candidate to be caused to wonder. He uses people. Satan has always used people. Let's see what he says to God. Open your Bibles to the book of Job chapter 1. It's real easy to teach this particular lecture because you're all familiar basically with the scriptures that I'm going to use and the people. And it's going to make it real easy for you. Job is probably one of the oldest books in God's Word. Therefore, its importance is that you should know. You should know what the lesson that was taught through Job meant. But it was very important. Pick it up in verse 6, if you will. And again, our objective is to find out how Satan operates and what tools he uses to deceive and cause to wonder. Verse 6 of chapter 1. Again, Job meaning persecuted. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Why? He was a cherubim, and he was also a son of God, because God created him. He had just gone a little bad, that's all, or a lot bad. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Where have you been? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And at this time, he had that privilege. He doesn't anymore, only through evil spirits, to coax men. Verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God, that's to say reveres, loves God, and escheweth evil, he stands against evil. What do you think about my boy Job? Do you think Satan doesn't know who follows God? He knew Job. He was well acquainted with him. He had tried him and tried him and tried him, but God, even before Christ was crucified on that cross to give us the authority for protection, power over all of our enemies, as it is well written in Luke chapter 10, beginning along about verse 18. There wasn't that protection at this time, unless God so ordained it because of a man's actions to earn it. But he still protected Job at this time. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Do you think it's for no reason that Job loves you? It's very obvious to me that Job loves you for only one reason. Verse 10, hast not thou made an hedge about him? In other words, to keep the temptations of men away. And about his house and about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. You take that away from your pretty boy there, old Job, and I guarantee you, Satan says, he'll curse you right to your own face. Verse 12, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, this is how much faith God had in Job. Do you know how much faith God has in you if you're strong? He knows you can cut it. He knows you can take it. He knows you can take adversity and handle it with maturity. And all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Skip down to the, what did Satan do to Job? One of the first things, verse 15, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away, killed all of his kids. Did Satan do it? No. Satan didn't do it. He used the Sabaeans. He used people. He used men to get to Job by destroying his family. Well, how do you do that? Satan speaks in the ear to those that will listen and utilizes them. There are enough wicked people in the world for Satan to use against his just. And he uses men. He's not going to come himself and stand in your path and rip you off for all that you own and everything. He's not going to do it. That's not the way he works. In the oldest book, one of the oldest books in the Bible, he used men then, and he will use them now. Now, for the sake of time, in chapter 2, finally Satan gets full reign, and guess who Satan sends to Job? Three of his best friends. You want me to say that again? Three of his best, most trusted friends. Hey, they had mantles. Because they took, that's very religious. And when they prayed for Job, said, all this would befall. His wife told him, why don't you just crawl off somewhere and die? She had already given up on him. But here come his loyal, trusted friends with their mantles. And they put him aside for 7 days. And all of them just stood there praying and in mourning with Job. Nobody saying a word for 7 days. Isn't that religious? You would think after 7 days they'd maybe, come up with some good stuff. Best friends. Well, they came up with some good stuff, all right. Yakety, yakety, yakety. It's what God says, not men, that's important. You've had this lesson over and over and over, but I want you to see the stark reality of how Satan works through your best friend, if possible, to cause you to wonder. Someone you really trust. He's an expert. He knows. Now, I'm not asking you to turn on all your friends. You're sharper than that. You always go to God's Word and try to help your friends rather than put stock in them. Because man doesn't know anything. Man only knows what he can assemble from the Word of God. And if he or she has the, I'm just going to say men, and by that I mean no gender, all right? This applies to men, women, and children. Other than the wisdom that God places in your forehead, there is no wisdom except how to do bad, quite frankly. He teaches you how to do good and how to be blessed. So naturally, all wisdom comes from him. Now, that isn't that you're not to listen to your friends, but don't take their word for granted. I don't care how religious these boys were, probably bishops. They did claim to have a mantle, but you see, they didn't. They did not have a mantle from God. Let's put it that way. And I'll document that before we finish this lecture. But they looked that way, talked that way. Oh, they could just spew forth many chapters of rhetoric, traditions, how great God was, and Job, look at you. You're a sorry sight. God has certainly turned his back on you, and you deserve to suffer, or God wouldn't be doing it to you. Well, God wasn't doing it. It was Satan and Job's friends. Satan using men, the civilians, to kill his family. Absolutely mutilating everything the man attempted to do. See, that sounds a little frightening. Don't let it. You have Christ today to say, I order a stop put to this in the name of Yeshua, Messiah, Jesus the Christ. That's the line. Don't cross it or you're in trouble. That's what you say to Satan. You take command. You take charge. You don't have to do that. But this is the example that shows you how that you can be caused to wonder. A man's best friend usually has more influence on him than any other man. And Satan knows that. It's that simple. Okay, with that point having been made, Satan uses men. He does. He always has. He always will. But praise God, you have the Word of God. And Christ is that Word. All right? That's why you put the seal of God in your forehead. Turn with me to the 25th chapter of Job. Old Bildad's going to give a little lecture here. They're telling him, to get you up to speed with the conversation, how great God is, how powerful he is. Verse 1 of chapter 25, then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. In other words, God is so powerful that he made peace in heaven. Yeah, he did. He overthrew at the first rebellion Satan and got him off away from the ark. All right, you know the story. Ezekiel 28. Is there any number of his armies? Do you think there's any count of God's army? No, there. He's got it. There's no doubt about that. True statement. And upon whom doth not his light arise? Who is it that the sun doesn't shine on if it's not shining? Verse 4. In other words, remember, they're trying to find Job's problem. All right? How then can man be justified with God? Question. Or how can he be clean that is born a woman? In other words, if you're living in the flesh and you're letting your spiritual self die, I'm sorry, there's a lot of truth in that. Flesh will talk to you and it'll give you its troubles worth also. Like it might say if you were a pastor, it might say, oh boy, my old foot is sure stove up. I just cannot speak today. Just really got it bad. Got to take care of myself, my flesh. You know, you don't do that, okay? Verse 5. Behold, even to the moon, my foot's not hurting, incidentally. It's not. It's fine. All right. Behold, even the moon. Now, this is a sign. Pay attention. And it shineth not. The stars are not pure in his sight. A third of them fell. Remember, being children of God. 6. How much less man, some little puny man in the flesh, that is a worm, and the Son of Man, which is a worm. You'll remember Christ repeated these words when he was on the cross. Psalms 22, verse 6. They're in that 22nd Psalm. Flesh is kind of that way. He cut us a wide swath showing us how it doesn't have to be that way, though. That being the point. Now, chapter 26, Job answers. See, I want you to see this play on words. Bildad has said, God controls everything. How great he is. And here you sit here with boils poured out all over you, boy. You're keeping something away from us. You're hiding something, Job. It's all your fault. Okay? Satan's after him. Why? He's one of the best. He was one that God even called special attention to. And don't you forget it, because if he calls special attention to you as one of his elect, stand by. if you don't pick up the sword of the Lord and start slicing back the negativity in your life, you can order it out. We have that privilege today. But first you have to be aware of it. You have to know it's there. You have to know it's Satan. Don't blame the little old person that's doing it. It's so far above their head you couldn't explain. Get on his case, Satan. So Job answers, and he's going to answer here that he knows how great God is. 26. But Job answered and said, "How hast thou helped him that is without power?" Question. "How savest thou the arm that hath no strength?" How do you go about it? 3. "How hast thou counseled him that hath no wisdom?" It's pretty tough to teach someone that has no wisdom. "And how hast thou plentifully declared the thing as it is?" How have you given every fact on the data? 4. "To whom hast thou uttered words?" Question. "And whose spirit came from thee?" Now that's a good question. Was it a good one or a bad one? Many people think they're doing good and they're not doing nothing but repeating a false spirit, a lying spirit. And then he continues, verse 5, "Dead, mark it, Raphim, the spirits of the Geba," after their death. "Dead things are formed from under the waters." That means from beneath, not literally now. Okay, don't think somewhere out in the ocean there's a deep cesspool and that's where Satan lives. No way, it's a figure of speech. "And the inhabitants thereof." In the first place, you know from the book of Revelation, what do water symbolize in a spiritual sense? People. The negative things are formed under the people because Satan uses people to accomplish what he must achieve or attempt to achieve. He must always use people. And why wouldn't he? He wants them to love him, to follow him, to obey him. Right? So, verse 6, "Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering." All right, hold it. Do you know what that word destruction is in the Hebrew tongue? Abaddon. So let's read it like it really is now. And I want you to be on guard. Hell is naked before him, and Satan hath no covering. He's got no covering to you, because you have the seal of God in your mind. You can see his naked attempts. You can recognize when he's working. Through Job's best friends, yours? Think about it. Best friend. Oh, come on, let's go play golf. No, I want to study a while. Study that old book. I can tell you more in 5 minutes about God than you can learn from that book all the time because my preacher told me. Okay? We'll go down to the Christian men's breakfast tomorrow, and I'm not knocking them now, okay? But, I mean, thank God for every move towards Christianity, but beware of the doctrines. Okay? Satan is, he better be naked to you. He better be uncovered. Because you'd better be able to recognize him, or friend, you have a problem. Verse 7. "He stretcheth out the north," now back to God, okay, speaking of God. "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon it." God placed the earth there. All right? Can you do that? Of course not. "He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under him." These old clouds, like some of them that bailed out here last night, just poured out of them. What he's saying is, they're just full of water, but they don't burst like a balloon. My word, but that covers it quite accurately. "He holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it. Now, I feel there's an era here, and I would not stand alone, but in a very small majority. I think the word throne is a typo. It should be moon, all right? It should read moon. And he does cover the moon as signs, and you should be aware of that, especially in this generation. I'll read it again, inserting the word moon. I'm not adding to, but I'm giving you supposition that you need be aware of. He holdeth back the face of his moon and spreadeth his cloud upon it, makes it dark, in other words. He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and the night come to an end. And he has. He's set the shores, the bounds, and created the orbit of the sun. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. In other words, the mountains shake, and the upheaval pulled those mountains up when he was angry. That's whenever the Katabol took place, Satan's overthrow. 12, he divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding, by his what? By his understanding he smiteth through the proud. How then do you, he's your father, how then do you smiteth the proud? With understanding. With understanding what? Wisdom. What's wisdom? God's word. Okay. God's way. 12. By his spirit, Job assuring how he loves God and how great he is. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Now really wake up. Right? Do you know what this is? This is the constellation known as the serpent or the dragon. And it comes into play in the signs, and I don't want you to become some fanatic on it, but if God slaps you in the face with a sign, and you'll hear that from the Fall Fellowship tapes if you're not familiar with it, called Labor or Birth Pains. I forgot which I named it, but one or the other. All right. But he said he placed it there. Why? So you would have understanding from it, so that you would even know Satan working. Here Satan is nibbling at all of them, and even out of Job's mouth he mentions the sign of the serpent. 14, lo, these are parts of his ways, but how little a portion is heard of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? Well, you can. But there's only one way you're going to understand it, and that's to get into it. To study it, and not what some nut has to say. Some guy gets you off to the side and says, I had a brilliant thought the other day, and goes on for 2 or 3 hours about trot. Pure trot. And you listen. Well, yeah, that makes sense. Well, let me ask you a question. Did it come from God's word? Or was it what some man had to say? Best friend. Be careful what you let happen up to this little mechanism. Don't let this man or any other man fine-tune it for you. You fine-tune it from God's word. I don't care what man says it, this man or any other man. If it isn't here, it's not true. It's not a fact. Now, you understand, I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. Yeah, we could go to an engineer and he could tell us how to design an airplane, and yep, that's probably pretty close to a fact. Don't think I'm talking down to you. I'm speaking in a spiritual sense. All wisdom comes from God. But even God gave that engineer the gift. Okay? So, there we have it. Old Bildad really telling God is so powerful, if he wanted to, he could reach down here and fix you up just like that, Job. What have you done, Job? What's wrong, Job? Well, and on it goes. Job said, I know he's that powerful. He gave us all the signs of the times, the moon, the serpent, all these things that in time, the skull and the stone. No, he didn't put that in here, but part of it, Jacob's pillar, all right? Okay, let's go on to chapter 28 of this. And perhaps we can pick up here on what God, through Job, is trying to tell us. And then God's going to tell Job directly here in a few moments. All right? Verse 12, chapter 28, book of Job. But where shall wisdom be found? Question. Hey, now that's something you really need to know, friend. And where is the place of understanding? If you ever needed anything, you need to know the answer to those two questions. And guess what? He's going to give them to you here. Let me get you up to speed here in this chapter. They're talking about wealth in this chapter, about how rich and where do you find, where is true wealth and how do you obtain true wealth. And they go into all the veins of gold and the precious jewels and so forth of how you find wealth. And that's not it, okay? It makes life a lot easier, but that's not it. That's not wisdom and understanding. Okay, up to speed now? Let's go with it. 13. Man knoweth not the price thereof, or the way to. Man doesn't know the way to wisdom necessarily. Neither is it found in the land of the living. You're not going to find it in some vein of gold. Wisdom, that is. And you're not going to find it from men. You got that? You're not going to find it from men. You're going to find it from God. That's the point. The depth saith, it is not in me. And the sea saith, it is not with me, wisdom that is. 15. It cannot be gotten from gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. That's not wisdom. Hey, it'll give you quite a spin in life to have plenty. It's not wisdom. 16. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir. That was the richest there was. Man tested out full. With the precious onyx or the sapphire. 17. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. Wisdom is the most valuable thing in the world. I mean, you can't lose your eternity if you have it. That simple. 18. No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Can't be compared. The topaz, verse 19, of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Can't match it. 20. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where can we get it? And where is the place of understanding? Where can we find it? 21. Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living, the eyes of the flesh and the world, okay? You have spiritual eyes also. Sometimes you have to close your flesh eyes to even open your spiritual eyes. Please do not let that throw you, but think on it. Meditate on it, and you'll understand what I'm saying. And kept close from the fowls of the air. That means demonic things, evil things. 22. Destruction, whoa, wait a minute. What's that word in the manuscripts? Abaddon. It's Satan. Used very few times in the Hebrew as destruction. Only for a special message to you, so that you do understand. So translate it, Satan. Satan and death, for he is death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 declares that Satan is death. That's one of his names. Say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. Do you know why Satan heard it with his ears? Because when Christ went to paradise on that side of the gulf and preached to the saints, as it is written in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, they heard it, but that was all. They didn't know it. They didn't understand it. He just says, I heard it. It doesn't matter how many times you hear it. if it doesn't click in and go into the memory bank, and then you file it away before the power shuts down, you're going to lose it. That's what's important. Little computer lingo here throwing in. You've got to file it away. That means so that at any time you sit down to meditate, you can call it back up again and use it. Satan heard it. It didn't mean anything to him. I'll bet it meant a lot to a lot of them that was there on the same side of the gulf that he was. And I'm referring to Luke chapter 16, Christ's parable concerning heaven, paradise. So, you know, you perhaps have ears to hear and log it onto the mind to understand what wisdom is. If Satan can, even if he can hear it, then certainly you can. What are you going to do with it? Verse 23, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. Do you know what that's? Only he can reveal it. He knows it. He knows where it is. He knows how you can find understanding. 24, for he looketh to the ends of the earth. He's got a plan. Are you in it? You are if you wish to be. He looks to the end of this earth age and seeth under the whole heaven. He knows what's going to happen. Only he's got the time plan. He's going to pull the trigger, that is to say, of time and events. And he's told you about them in his word, if you've logged it away. To make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure. What that is saying is he has taken the most unstable things and has fixed a way to control them. Have you ever seen unstable weather? He can cause it to calm down. Just move the jet stream a little bit and it's done. You know, just nothing to him. He can handle it. And you should know that. And you should love him for the fact that he has the wisdom to do that. And quite frankly, the more we learn in meteorology as we continue along, pilots and weathermen and so on and so forth, the old jet stream, the part it plays, it's fantastic. The wisdom that he has there entailed within that. And he can handle it. He controls the switch, 26. When he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder, have you ever tried? Do you think you could open up the path that lightning strikes from a cloud to the ground after it thunders? I don't think so. I don't think you would want to get too close anyway to it. It would be a shocking awakening, all right? But God can control those things. He has the wisdom to know exactly how that's done. Then did he see it and declare it? He prepared it, yea, and searched it out. He knew from the beginning, set it up, put it in motion. Now he's going to give you the answer. I pray that you can receive it. Verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear. I wish this was translated correctly to reverence, because that's what it is. The reverence of the Lord, that is wisdom. You want to know what wisdom is? The reverence of the Lord. And to depart from evil is understanding. There is your answer. When you talk to your flesh and tell it to beware of other flesh, whereby you don't listen to a bunch of malarkey. Oh, had the greatest thought the other day. I want to tell you about purple and blue. When you take purple and blue, you know what spiritually that means, don't you? No, I don't. Because it's nonsense. Don't listen to it. If it isn't here, somebody's pulling your leg. It's a time for maturity. Wandering to perish. It can happen. And Satan used Job's best friends. along with the Sabaeans, evil people, very evil people, used them to bring that man down to his very knees. And old Job listened. Hey, he never gave in. He never gave up his love or reverence for God. So what did that mean? I just read you the answer to that question. What did Job never give up? Wisdom, which is reverence of God. He never stopped loving. I don't care. I don't care as long as I live and breathe this breath that God gave me, I'll still love Him, whatever shape this body is in. That's the answer. He didn't listen to them much, only about 38 chapters worth, anyway, of yattity of a bunch of nonsense. And, you know, so we're going to have a Bible study tonight, and you go over, and guess what? One or two or three verses is read, and then old Popoff comes on. I'd like to give you my rendition on this. Get set, friend. Now, am I saying don't listen to him? No, he may be a wise man. But check him out in the Word, or you might stumble and wonder because you trust that person. Hey, it's a good old boy, my best friend. But he can sure twist you up. And if you've got enough sense to listen to nonsense, if you don't have better knowledge than listen to nonsense, God, just like he let Job, is going to let you cruise down Primrose Lane. Because he expects better out of you. He expects you to think for yourself and not let this man or any other man tell you. If it isn't written, it doesn't matter. It's probably a bunch of nonsense. So be careful of the spiritual freaks in these end times, especially. Especially those that think they know everything. And they spend more time in trying to impress you on what they know. And it's so irritating to one of us that do know everything to have one of those come around. Oh, but could we know everything? There's no way, all right? We're only hitting on two spark plugs out of an 8-cylinder rig here, all right? But we'll get all 8 of them cooking someday. I cannot caution you enough to be careful. I want you to see how Satan works. Let's repeat it one more time. Men and best friends. That's the way he works, because you're going to have your guard down. And you're going to be ready. Now, God kind of takes over, okay? And I think it's important that we read, as well as you're all familiar with it. You know which chapter I'm going to, I'm sure. It's the 38th chapter. And we're going to conclude with this. We're going to close it down. Chapter 38. After 38 chapters of Satan and Job's best friends, God finally shows up on the scene. Bear in mind, Job never stopped loving our Father. And our Father appreciated it. He counted that as everything. All right? Counted it. As a matter of fact, he's going to give Job double everything he ever lost. And I don't know if we have time. I might even turn and show what he did to his best friends. He paddled them a little bit. And if it was met with Job's approval, he'd kind of fix them back up too. But this is what he said about him in the beginning. Now, this is the straits you do not wish to fall into. Chapter 38. Then the Lord answered. He finally showed up. He was there all the time, but it's time to speak. He answered Job out of a whirlwind and said, now you all know the horses of God, or the whirlwinds. 2. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? That's Elihu and the good friends. Said, they don't have any knowledge, Job. Why are you listening to those nuts? Bunch of freaks. Why do you listen? It's a good question, my friend. Think about it. And you have the Word of God to study from and to align with. I'm not trying to get you to be antisocial or anything of that nature, but be careful. Even suspicious, if you must. but walk easy. Judge fairly and honestly. And I'm going to guarantee you, from many years of walking this earth, from experience, you're going to hear a lot more nonsense than you are truth. And I think there's not a person in this room that wouldn't admit to that. And all your best friends and everything. When it comes to learning about God and learning wisdom and knowledge, you're going to have to admit that in your lifetime you've heard a lot more nonsense than you have the real thing, God's Word. All right? Because people don't know. Can we blame them for that? No. They mean well. God said, why are you listening to somebody that doesn't have any knowledge? Verse 3, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. You stand up and you act like a man. God always wants can-do type people. He doesn't like whiners, wimps. He doesn't like somebody that just cares about self and not our brethren, not our people, not even those that would mislead you if they had the opportunity. He wants can-do type people. People that can be persecuted and won't fall apart on their first cruise. What can they accomplish? Wisdom gives you that can-do spirit. It doesn't matter. Once you gain wisdom, it doesn't matter what people say about you. It really doesn't. It's probably just Satan trying to get to you in the first place and using good judgment in all things. Verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Well, Job had already said that. I know God did, but Job never said he understood it. All right? Do you? I don't think so. I don't think there's a living being on this earth that can understand how God placed this big planet Earth, where it's at, giving it its orbit, and it doesn't have any strings holding it up, and it's not sitting on a platform. All right? Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? If you know all that, Job, or who hath stretched the line upon it? That's the compass, the seasons, the orbits. That now we have to use computers to learn how to shoot something to hit the moon just right. 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Question. When the morning stars, and I'm going to quit here. Well, maybe not. But when the morning stars, these are the children of God, don't take them as literal stars, sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And he continues on, and he talks about the frost. And he would go on and he would say, Job, could you take a lump of clay and make a suit that you could put a soul in and it would live and be able to replenish the earth? I don't think so. Any of you tried to make a man lately? Create one? I don't think so. You'd know better. That'd be foolish, because you couldn't. And he continues on about all the wonders, and he gets down to 31. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Orion is coming into play very soon. The reason I'm doing concerning the constellation of the serpent and this in straight conjunction with Abaddon, I want you to know it's not a new thing that these signs would be given in relationship to that subject, all right? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth, that's the zodiac, into his season, and so forth? Can you? Well, I don't think so. Man can't do that. But wisdom will at least let you understand. Now, in closing this time, the reason I said I wasn't going to stop there, I'd kind of promised that to show you how good our Father is. Even though these knuckleheads tried to straighten Job out, and they couldn't straighten themselves out, you know. It's like someone would go down to the corner down here to, I want to start a new business, and I go down here to two loafers whittling on the sidewalk that can't hold a job, and ask them how to start a successful business, you know. Well, don't do that spiritually, all right? Here's the real truth and the real way. But does God hate someone like that that tried? What chapter? Last chapter, 42, verse 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz and the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. You're a bunch of know-it-alls. Hey, therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, your wandering, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job. And so they continue on, and sure enough, they wake up in time. So stability, and God appreciates stability when he stabilized awesome forces in the universe. And he has the wisdom to accomplish that. But it's important that you note what Satan uses. Hey, God wasn't happy with those three. Satan used them, and they allowed it. Be careful, my friend, as you are in that generation, that Satan's going to be testing God's people. Boy, is he. He's got most of the world sewed up. He's got them in the gunny sack, and he's already headed for the river. They're squalling. That's an old sign many years ago, very evilly, how people got rid of cats they didn't want, okay? But he's on his way. He doesn't care about them. He's got them sacked. But you are trouble to him. So what do you expect out of him? He wants to straighten out your case and have you in his camp because you're such a good worker. You're somebody. You're a can-do type person for God, and he wants you to be a can-do type loser for him. So what can I say? I feel as we come into these generations, it's important that we analyze Satan's method of operation, whereby you're not sucked in. All right. Our Father's good to us. Never forget this. In Christ, you have freedom and place a wall to keep all these things away from you. And I'm sure, though God will not remove that wall, whatever Satan asks from you, he's sure going to try to climb under the edge of the tent. You understand what I'm saying? How does he do that? Through good friends or people you trust, people you love. Don't take it out on the person. Take it out on Satan. Order him out of their life also. You have that right. Be alert and be wise. How is it that you be wise? By learning wisdom. And you get that from God, because all wisdom comes from him. Father, we thank you for the written word, Father. Thank you for your plan, the way, from the very beginning. It is a privilege to be allowed to serve you. And Father, we do rebuke Satan and all his evil tries through people of this world to cut and forge that path that you have chartered for us. We ask your help in Yeshua, Jesus' precious name. Amen.